Welcome to The Goal is Whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ. Series 3, focus on community, one together. Part 2, one glorious church. Study 026, in finances and funding.
Yin Vision is designed to be simple and lean and easy to reproduce. Does not require dedicated buildings or full-time or paid staff. It's a small group vision. And in that respect, the vision needs very little, if any, funding. It typically just falls on group members themselves to cover any incidental costs. Inns might also network and partner with other inns, which might help with costs that arise. Ideally, inns operate in and through wider church identities, and each church will likely have its own understanding and strategies concerning finances. That's, of course, outside the scope of this vision and this study. So what we share here is for guidance in inn life specifically. When it comes to giving financially, there is just one overarching principle that we like to emphasize. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 says, "Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Some might say that all we have belongs to Jesus. We give our lives to him, and with that comes everything we have, including our money. The scripture suggests otherwise, though. He calls us rather into stewardship of our resources. Let's look at an event in the early church where one couple sold a piece of property and brought the proceeds to the apostles to distribute to those in need. It was very generous of them, but the only thing is they lied about how much money they'd raised from the sale and kept some back for themselves, pretending though to give it all. Perhaps they felt under pressure to give everything. Perhaps there was a doctrine around the idea that God owned it all and it was his. Well, let's see how the Apostle Peter handled this. Acts 5, verse 3 to 4. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you've conceived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God." The message here is very clear. It all belonged to Ananias all along. Both the equity in the property before he sold it, and then in the sale proceeds, it was his to control. The implication was he could have chosen how much to give. There's no need to lie about it. Different people have different income opportunities, different assets, different debts. Some have more than they need and they can share easily. Others struggle to make ends meet and could do with some help. The issue here is a community identity thing. It's not that we're all under duty to give an amount or a percentage of our income. As Paul stated, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12, "For the readiness is present, if the readiness is present, it's acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have." It's likely that in some communities this will be the case. Some are in a position to give, others need more to receive. And this might also change over time. The principle is that, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, in chapter 4:19, "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." But let's be clear about this though. Paul wrote that to a community, not an individual. So for that to be true, it will take some sharing around and some openness in the community gatherings. We can see this working powerfully in the early church, Acts 2, 44 to 45. "All those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need." Again, Acts 4, 33 to 35. "Abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sale and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need." Some individuals are more financially provided for than others, for all kinds of reasons. There are rich people in the new creation, and that's not a problem, but it does open up another level of responsibility for those that have that abundance. "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited, or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. That's Paul writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:17 to 18. So inns might be a great context to outwork this on a local community level through relationship. Paul also took on board a sharing approach as he travelled and discovered people and places where the need was great. And he took it on as part of his ministry to collect funds from one region and take them to another. Acts 11:27 to 30. Now at this time some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And this they did, sending in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. You know, Paul urged the Corinthians to save up every week so that a fund was available for him to take when he came through. 1 Corinthians 16, 1-4. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it's fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. Later in his second letter, he wrote about their support for the Macedonians, 2 Corinthians 8:13 to 15. This is not for the ease of others and for your affliction, but by way of equality. At this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. As it's written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. So some in communities might partner with trustworthy ministries having wider reach so that they can do the same as that, gathering funds and then distributing and sending to those specific ministries that are focused on. Two other principles are extremely important for us to consider as we close here on finances. First, Paul developed the example of providing for his own needs and those of his team when able, so that he would not be a burden to anyone. And he did this through running a business enterprise, making tents, which was able to cover his costs. Acts 20, verse 33 to 35. I've coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 18, 2-3, he came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. Paul told the Thessalonians that he lived that way to set an example for them. We would do well to follow this too. 2 Thessalonians 7-11, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labour and hardship we kept working day and night, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we don't have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone's not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Second, we're not to just passively accept that we're stuck in the income levels we currently have. There's a message of abundance in the new creation, which is unleashed out of the exchange Jesus made at the cross. In the middle of one of Paul's passages on money to the Corinthians, he states this, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And he reiterated this in the next chapter. These are financial passages, so we don't need to overly spiritualize these. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 to 11. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it's written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. So in this, we're urged to press into God as a community and seek ways for increasing our ability to give. God's the one who provides the seed. And as we're faithful in handling this well and giving, he will continue to supply so that we might continue to give more. Let's be those that aspire to be giving communities, able to bless others and help alleviate the burden of lack, just as Jesus leads.
The goal is whole. New creation studies you can apply daily to live complete in Christ.